Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. You'll proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Jared Wilson. I'm here on behalf of the appellants, the Hikes. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This appeal is a very simple issue in our mind, and that's simply that the department has claimed that our action here is time-barred, and they try to paint a picture that our clients simply sat on their rights and waited 3 years before bringing a claim, but that is simply not the case. This started back in 2008 when the Department of Roads started a condemnation action against our client's property for the expansion of Highway 75. This was actually came before the Supreme Court as case 288 Nebraska 60. As part of this taking, they had workers removing a lot, massive dirt near the house, and had large machinery operating near the house. And in one morning in August of 2011, the Hikes were awoken when a loud cracking sound occurred, and they went out to inspect their house to find large cracks in the brick and foundation on the outside of their house. They had experts come out and review it. They concurred that the machinery, the vibrations, and the mass removal of dirt had cracked the foundation and caused the house to settle. They estimated it would cost over $50,000 to fix this. Now, at the time, the condemnation action was still ongoing. And as our client's understanding of their rights, that any damages or losses resulting of a condemnation action needed to be brought at that time or they could be waived. They raised this damage issue within 2 months of discovering it, and disclosed these experts. Discovery was done, depositions were taken, the department produced rebuttal experts, everybody was ready for trial. And then shortly before trial, the department filed a motion to exclude this evidence, saying that they would be irreparably or unduly prejudiced if this went to trial and was not held as a separate action. Quote, the motions, they said, the Hikes can bring this claim in a separate action and, quote, such matters are properly the issue in a separate proceeding. Our clients disagreed, obviously, but the district court agreed and excluded that evidence. So after the trial in September of 2012, we appealed to the Supreme Court. And this court agreed, and in May of 2014, it issued its opinion stating that while they may have a remedy, it would not be part of the condemnation action. So the Hikes, in compliance with this court and what the department was requesting in their motion, brought a separate action to sue for the damage to their house.
How long after the May 2014 opinion did your clients file the second?
Well, after the May 2014 opinion, our clients filed for a motion for rehearing, which was denied in June of 2014, and then we brought this complaint in April of 2015, about 10 months after that. Shortly after which, the department again filed a motion to say that this was time-barred and that it had passed the statute of limitation. In that motion, they cite to Section 25-218, saying there's a 2-year statute of limitations, or that any action is barred unless is, quote, action is brought thereon within 2 years. Simply put, we brought action within 2 years. We brought action within 2 months of discovering the damage. In their own brief, the department states that the action accrued in August of 2011, and we brought action in the Hike 1 case, the previous case, within 2 months of that. We prosecuted it, we did discovery on it, we did everything we could, and we waited while it was pending on appeal. The department has claimed in their brief again that we had 2 years from the August 2011 to bring this action as a separate legal action, and therefore we should have brought this sometime in or before August of 2013.
When did the district court dismiss this as a condemnation action?
The district court issued an interlocutory order dismissing it in July of 2012, but it did not become a final appealable judgment until September of 2012, at which point we appealed, and everything after September of 2012 was pending on appeal, and this is established law that the district court has no jurisdiction to rule on this issue, and it could not have been brought until it was resolved in 2014. By their own argument, this action could not have been brought. I think it is simply put, the Hikes have done everything in this case to protect their rights, their constitutional rights to remedy of damage here, and to bar them now for taking every action available to them, we believe would be simply a violation of their rights and leave them with absolutely no remedy. But on an even more fundamental level, I believe we would not be here if the department had not raised their objection in this motion for dismissal saying that this was time barred. Because under the case by this court in
What cause of action would you have that would be time barred that related to the cracking of the foundation done as a result, or allegedly the result of the grading work done within 60 feet of the property?
Our position is that the machinery was used far too close because of the vibrations of the heavy machinery near the house as well as the excavation that closed. It undermined the foundation and did crack it.
So is that an inverse condemnation action?
We believe it is, and that is how we have addressed it in this action. We brought it as an inverse condemnation action because...
So it would be separate from the value of the property that the state took in the first condemnation?
Is this a
new cause of action separately? Accruing?
We believe that this separate cause of action needed to be brought under the original condemnation. I don't have the case names in front of me, but they're cited in our reply brief where the court has specifically said that any losses and damages resulting from a taking must be brought within the condemnation action or they will be deemed to be waived. And that is why we brought it in the original action, relying on that case law and that presumption. The court decided that was not the case at the time, and then we complied. But the reason this was not originally brought as a separate action and joined in the original condemnation action is that we believed at the time that was the action that needed to happen in order to preserve our rights.
So on the final judgment in December 2012, if you could have filed a new action at that point and still been within the statute of limitations?
As of September 2012, if we filed a separate action, we could have at that time. However, we believed...
You chose to appeal that issue.
Correct.
And you believe that prevented you from filing a separate action then at that point?
At that time, yes, because while the issue was standing on appeal under the holdings of Sports Course v. McGinnis, again, it's cited in our brief, while any issue is pending on appeal, the district court lacks any subject matter jurisdiction regarding that issue. So we could not have brought that in our view.
Even if it was in a separate case?
Even in a separate case, trying to rehash the same issue in a separate lawsuit, we believe would have been barred by jurisdiction. But even more fundamentally, we believe that the department should have been barred and judicially stopped from trying to bring their time bar defense. As I stated in the Welsh case, Welsh v. Graves, and that's Nebraska 255 Nebraska 62, the court made it very clear that statute of limitations and time bars are not inherent bars of cases, but are only defenses that must be either raised or waived. And in this case, if the department had not raised this defense, then we would not be here right now, obviously. But we believe that because the only reason this was brought as a separate action is because the department, after doing discovery on this matter extensively in the previous case, insisted that it be brought separately.
But the only reason it was brought in separate cases is because the court dismissed it.
Right, because the court agreed with the position of the department. In the previous case, they took the unequivocal position that, quote, and quote their motion again, such matters are properly the issue in a separate proceeding. The court agreed with them, and they were successful in that proposition, and now they're seeming to take the opposite proposition, stating that that is not the case. In fact, they stood here, counsel for the department stood in this very position in February of 2014, 6 months after their alleged statute of limitation already expired, and told this very court that, again, the Hikes need to bring this as a separate action right now, and this is not something that needs to be done in the same condemnation action. At that point in time, their own alleged statute of limitations had already expired, and now they're trying to basically reverse their position and say, no, it should have been brought years ago.
So how, if we wanted to side with you, how do we get there?
I believe that the simplest way to get there is simply state that because of the positions that have been taken by the department in this action and in the previous Hike action, they should be judicially stopped from claiming any kind of time bar defense. This matter should be remanded to the district court and allowed to go forward to trial.
You make an argument about the different statutes of statute of limitations being applicable. What's your best argument in regard to that?
I do believe that because of the statute of limitations under, I believe it, I don't have the specific number in front of me, that there is a 10-year statute of limitations.
202?
202 is far more specific and specifically goes to takings and inverse condemnation actions, which this is.
We believe that that is a far more specific and applicable statute, which provides a 10-year statute of limitations. There is certainly an issue, and a question has been raised about whether this applies to the state or only to the city. Therefore, leave that to the court's discretion to rule on, but I think even if you apply the 2-year statute, we meet that.
So is your argument basically that there's a 2-year statute of limitations, it was told during the pendency of the appeal?
I believe that, at least as an equitable matter, the statute of limitations should be believed to have been told while we were pending on appeal, because there was nothing that we or our clients could have done to execute on that statute until it was ruled upon.
Do you have any case law or statutory authority support that?
Unfortunately, the case law is pretty bare on that particular issue, and it's not very well touched on, but I think even as a simpler matter, the judicial estoppel here would simply solve this matter. No further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wade, good morning to you.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, I'm Assistant Attorney General appearing on behalf of the Nebraska Department of Roads. The present case is an inverse condemnation claim brought by Leo and Joanna Hike and arising from construction damages that are alleged to have been incurred by the Hikes back in on around August 27th of 2011.
This damage didn't occur as a result of the taking.
No, it did not.
All they did there was take the property and pay the reasonable cost for the property taken.
Right. And that's a very important point to keep in mind as we go forward. These damages were roughly 3 years, are alleged to have occurred roughly three years,
When does the party's cause of action accrue in this case?
I'm sorry?
When does the party's cause of action accrue in this case?
The party's cause of action accrues when the damage is actually sustained, and in this case, it's on or about August 27th of 2011.
Is there any tolling effect from their appeal?
Well, and that's, the state would take exception to the characterization in this case. The statute in this case requires that an action be filed within 2 years of cause of action accruing. And that's 25-218. And it wasn't filed within that 2-year time period. The action accrued in this case when the damage was sustained and the parties became aware of it. Again, it was August of 2011.
They became aware of it, and then I assume in good faith they made that part of the condemnation.
Well, they tried to offer evidence. When you say they made that a part of the condemnation, it's critical to keep in mind that you have evidence offered in the original condemnation that was objected to by the state and excluded. There was no cause of action pled. It was never an action. The first and only action ever claiming construction damages was made by the Hikes against the state was filed on April 17, 2015. There was no cause of action pled in the earlier case.
So this isn't a situation where the claims were joined in that first action?
No.
They just asked for damages.
They offered evidence to include with the damage figure for the condemnation. Obviously, the condemnation is, and the damages that are approximately caused by condemnation are unrelated construction damages, which is why they were not allowed in the trial to begin with.
Where do we get the suggestion of a 10-year statute of limitation for this matter?
I'm sorry.
Where does the suggestion come from that it's a 10-year statute of limitation for the current case?
Well, the appellants are arguing that, or did, one of the two grounds they asserted at trial was judicial estoppel, or that a different statute of limitations, 25-218, applied. Well, 25-218 is a general statute. It was applicable to actions to obtain title or possession of property. It's
including adverse possession, things of that nature, is that correct?
I'm sorry. It could be, I suppose, but it's property-related matters.
And it goes to inverse condemnations as well, is that correct? Haven't we held that 10-year statute of limitations for inverse condemnation?
Well, there's two cases that are cited, Cranbeck and Steuben, I think.
What did we say in Strode?
I'm sorry?
What did we say in Strode, the city of Ashland?
I'm sorry, I don't know that I've read Strode. Steuben and Cranbeck, I have.
Well, tell me about those. What's your position in respect to those cases?
Well, those cases were cases that applied to city governments. I think Cranbeck was Gretna. Steuben was the city of Lincoln.
Are those the distinguishing factors in those cases?
Well, they were city governments, but one of the real distinguishing factors is that 25218 applies to all claims brought against the state. There wasn't a specific statute addressing claims brought against a city government in a condemnation case. So the Supreme Court looked at those various statutes of limitations and analogized a private action by an individual to obtain possession or title to a piece of property. They argued that that would be similar to an invert and applied it in those actions against the city. In this case, it's different because we've got a specific statute applicable to the claims and demands made against the state.
So the distinguishing factor is who's doing the taking.
That is one distinguishing factor, and then the other distinguishing factor is one has a specific statute applicable to such actions. In this case, actions against the state. The other one did not. The court, in the other two cases, Cranbeck and Steuben, was left to analogize to other situations to come up with a statute of limitations of that.
The appeal in the original condemnation action does not toll the running of the statute of limitations for another cause.
It does not, and I want to address that additionally over and above what I have in my brief. Number one, I don't believe that argument was raised before the trial court. The trial court can't err in deciding the issue. It's never presented to him. I think the court should disregard it in the absence of plain error. If it had been raised, number one, there was no cause of action filed in the original or what I'll call Hike 1. There was never an action filed, and that's the operative term in 25-218. An action has to be filed.
We actually addressed that issue in the appeal, didn't we?
I'm sorry?
We actually addressed the action in the appeal by saying that this wasn't a taking case, and there were no damages for the alleged damage to the house that could be asserted in the original taking case.
That's true, and I would ask the court to take judicial notice of the prior opinion.
We'll do that.
And that's 288-60-86 Northwest 2nd, 205. The other thing I'd ask the court to do is look at the the transcript in that case. The complaint is at page 146, I'm sorry. And I'd offer as authority for the proposition that the court can do that, Paul Rhodes versus Yates, 210 Nebraska 14, 312 Northwest 2nd, 680, 1981 case, where you have intertwined litigation involving the same parties decided by the same court. You can look at your own record. Ask the court to do so and look specifically at the complaint. There was never any allegation in that case, a cause of action related to construction damage. All you have is the offer of evidence. That doesn't toll the running of the statute of limitations for a subsequent action.
In that condemnation action, could the Hikes have filed a counterclaim? Is that what you're saying? You're saying there was a claim for damages, but no cause of action asserted. Are you saying that in that first action, they should have brought a counterclaim?
No, the offering the evidence was inappropriate for every reason. It's just unrelated.
You think it wasn't framed by the pleadings or in a liberal sense?
It's just...
We've already decided it. We've said that this isn't compensable in the condemnation proceeding.
It's been decided several times that way. There's a variety of reasons. You're talking about damages sustained 3.5 years later after the condemnation. Condemnation, you look at damages approximately caused by that actual condemnation at the time of the taking, which was clear back in 08. You also have different measures of damages. You would have to bring in a different set of experts to address the evidence. It just would, it would be confusing to try to determine an issue like whether they're entitled to attorney's fees.
Was there any evidence that the parties entered into a standstill agreement with respect to all this cracking and so forth?
No, there wasn't such an agreement. I do want to go further and say if there had been an earlier action, cause of action pled, it still would have been properly overruled. I'll cite the court to Sluka v. Herman, 229 Nebraska 200, 425 Northwest 2nd 891 and 88 case, Dworak v. Farmers Insurance Exchange, 269 Neb 36, 693 Northwest 2nd 522, 205 case, Zitterkopf v. Maldonado, 273 145, 727 Northwest 2nd 696. Those cases expressly tell you that whether you have a case filed, cause of action brought, and it's dismissed for some reason, that when you go and file a subsequent action, that subsequent action still has to be filed within the statute of limitations.
But counsel, there was no cause of action ever dismissed here. You said they just simply tried to show damages and it was denied, so there never was a cause of action to be dismissed.
There was never one brought, never one dismissed.
Correct, but isn't that the principle you said was in that case, that if you have a cause of action dismissed, you still have to bring it? My question is, if they don't have a cause of action that was dismissed, how's that case happen?
In this case, they did not file a prior cause of action. I'm just saying that if they had, if in the Hype 1 they had filed a cause of action for damages due to construction, it would still properly be dismissed in this case. And it'd be properly dismissed because this second action was not brought within the statute of limitations. Those three cases tell you that that's fine. You can file a lawsuit, bring a claim. An action is commenced at the time the complaint's filed with the court. And that's according to 25217.
Do we have a conflict between our cases in here as to whether or not 202 applies to this type of action?
No.
We've held that it does not?
It does not, okay. Because you've got Bordy and Sarnik are cited in my brief, and they tell you that 25218 is the governing statute on an inverse brought against the state.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which